الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فيقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى قال: ومن أعظم هؤلاء ضلالا، من أعظم هؤلاء ضلالا من انتسب إلى إمام أو شيخ من شيوخ المسلمين وابتدع في دين الله ما لم يأذن به الله، أو ضم إلى ذلك أنواعا من التكذيب والتلبيس كهؤلاء المتولهين الذين يفتلون شعورهم ومن وافقهم من المظهرين كالمحرقة نعم ومن وافقهم من المظهرين كالمحرقة النار والآذان وماء الورد والسكر والعسل والدم من صدورهم وإمساك الحيات، زاعمين أن ذلك كرامة، كرامة لهم، واحتيالا عن الصد عن سبيل الله وأكل أموال الناس بالباطل. شيخ الإسلام تيمية رحمه الله تعالى يبين أن هذه كلها ليست كرامات، هذه كلها شعوذة وانحراف عن دين الله، لأن أعظم كرامة الاستقامة، أعظم كرامة الاستقامة، وهذه أحوال شيطانية، وهذا يعني أصبح فيه انحراف في مفهوم الكرامة الشرعية. والكرامة الشرعية تأتي في حال الاستقامة على الدين، حال الاستقامة على الدين، كما قال الشافعي رحمه الله: إذا رأيتم الرجل يطير في السماء أو يمشي على الماء لا تقولوا كرامة حتى تنظروا أين هو من حدود الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، ما بعد. شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned among the greatest of those who have gone astray are those who associate themselves with an imam or a sheikh from among the scholars of Islam and innovate in the religion of Allah that which he has not permitted. They also add various forms of falsehood and deception, like those who twist their hair into specific styles or others who claim to display signs of divine favor through acts as walking on fire, using substances like incense, rose water, sugar, honey, or even blood from their chest, or handling snakes. They allege that these are miracles granted to them, while their true intent is to divert people from the path of Allah and unlawfully consume their wealth. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is clarifying here that all of these affairs mentioned and those similar to them, they're not from the karamat, any from the miracles that happened at the hands of the righteous. Rather, they are, whether it's a great deviation and misguidance, and it's from the ways of the devils. From the ways of the devils. And this is because the greatest karama, a'zam karama, the greatest miracle and honor from Allah, luzum al-istiqama, to be steadfast upon the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are circumstances of the devils that they perform here and that they claim to do. And we see now that the understanding of what is a true miracle that is happens at the hands of the righteous sometimes by the permission of Allah, many people, they misunderstand these affairs. And that has become a deviant understanding. So the one that's truly a karama, an honor, and a miracle from Allah that the righteous they perform, this is for the one who is himself is upright and obedient. Like what a Shafi, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, if you see somebody walking on water or in the air and the likes like this, then do not believe him until you weigh him up against the Quran and the Sunnah. And if he's from those who abide by the limits of Allah Azza wa
Jal. في أنهم يقولون أنهم رأوا شهداء خرجت من أجسادهم رائحة المسك، وأن رأوهم يبتسمون إلى غير ذلك. هذه كلها لابد أن توزن بالشرع، لا يكفي أن تكون رائحة مسك أو ابتسامة. قد ذكر الإمام أحمد رحمه الله أن الشيطان يفتن بالخوارج، يفتن بالخوارج حتى عند موتهم، فقد رؤي من الخوارج من يبتسم عند موته، فتنة للناس، فتنة للناس. فالمسألة هل هذا جهاد شرعي؟ هل هذا حقيقة جهاد حتى يستدل بهذه الكرامات على أنه جهاد، وأن هذه كرامة؟
So here from this, from the examples of this is what we see today, that some people claim that they've seen the martyrs with their souls leaving their body, or they had smelled the beautiful, pleasant scent of musk whenever they die, or that they see that on their face a smile and the lights like this. And these affairs are not considered alone. Whether it's looked to the person, was he upright in his life or not? And it's been narrated by Imam Ahmed rahimahullah that he mentioned that the devil, he would try the people by way of the khawarij even until the time of his death. And that is that sometimes maybe there will be a person from the khawarij who will die, and they'll see a smile on his face. And this is in order to try the people. This is in order to try the people and to test them. So a person, he not look at the way that he died, if he's smiling on his face and as a sign that he's righteous or what he's doing is correct. Rather, he'll look, is this really jihad that he's doing? Is the action that he died performing, was it a good action that's legislated, or was it innovation or a deviant way?
ومثله أيضا حسن الخاتمة. فإن بعض الناس يجعل حسن الخاتمة أو يحكم لشخص بحسن الخاتمة أنه مات ساجدا، أو أنه كان يصلي، ولو كان يعرف منه انحرافا أو يعرف منه أيضا عدم اتباع هذا كله، هذا ليست هذه حسن الخاتمة. حسن الخاتمة أن يموت الإنسان على الإسلام والسنة، هذه حسن الخاتمة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مات على صدر عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها وأرضاها. فإذا لا ينبغي أن تجعل حسن الخاتمة بمثل هذه الأمور، وربما مات الإنسان على فراشه وهو على سبيل وسنة، ولا يقال أن هذه حسن خاتمة، هذا باطل. إذا حسن الخاتمة من مات على الدين متمسكا به ولم يحدث في دين الله ولم ينحرف، هذا دليل على حسن الخاتمة بإذن الله تعالى. نعم.
Also from that as well is the issue about having a حسن الخاتمة, and having a good ending, and dying in a good manner. Some people they rule or they judge and consider a person having a good ending just simply from the fact that he died while he's in sujood, or that he died while he's praying. Even if it's known from this person to be a deviant, even if he's known to be misguided, or if it's known from him that he's somebody who does not follow the sunnah, then they consider the fact that he died while in sujood or that he died praying, this is a sign that he had a good ending. This is not the sign. This is not alone a sign by itself. Rather, the sign is that he died upon the Qur'an and the sunnah. This is the sign of a husn khatima. The one who dies upon the Qur'an and sunnah, this is the one who had a good ending. So likewise, he mentioned hafidhahullah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he died while he's on the chest, on the breast of Aisha radiallahu anha. So maybe somebody, he would die on his bed. Maybe somebody, he would die on his bed. But he died while living upon the Qur'an and sunnah. So we wouldn't say, oh, he died on his bed, so he didn't have a good ending. No, he had a good ending. So it's not considered any this alone. Rather, a person, he must look to what he was upon. The true good ending is the one who dies upon the Qur'an and the sunnah.
Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, ra'a waladahu Abdullah yabki.
Imam Ahmad, he saw his son Abdullah crying.
قال ما بك?
He said, what's wrong with you?
قال مات صاحب لي.
He said, my friend died.
انظروا كيف, ماذا سأل?
Look what he asked him.
أكان على السنة?
Was he upon the sunnah?
قال نعم.
He said yes.
قال لا تبكي.
He said they don't cry.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى أما فتل الشعور ولفيفها فبدعة ما أمر بها أو ما أمر بها نبي ولا رجل صالح ولا فعلها من يقتدى به بل قد شرع الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم الترجل من تسريح الشعر ودهنه. ودخل عليه رجل ثائر الشعر فقال: أما وجد هذا ما يسكن به شعره؟ الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى يبين أن فعلهم للفيف شعرهم وجعله ضفائر وجعله بهيئات يعني تخالف هيئات الصالحين، وهذا يا إخوة مسألة مهمة، أن الإنسان لا يشذ عن الصالحين، لا يشذ عن الصالحين ولا يكون شاذا عنهم، إنما يكون مثلهم ولا يفعل شيء ما كانوا يفعلونه ويكون غريب عنهم. هذا من الأمور التي هي بدعة، لأن فيها يعني أن يفعل شيئا يشتهر به. تعرفون أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن ثوب الشهرة، وكذلك قال: من لبس ثوب شهرة لبس ثوب جرب يوم القيامة، أو ألبس ثوب جرب يوم القيامة، إلى غير ذلك. فتكون يعني تفعل فعل الصالحين وفي لبسهم وفي هيئتهم وفي ولا تطل شعرك. ولذلك انظروا الخوارج جاء في وصفهم أنهم سيماهم التحليق في ذلك الوقت، وهذا من التقشف، من التقشف وعدم إكرام يعني الشعر، ما عندهم وقت لإكرام شعرهم فإنهم يحلقون. واليوم العكس، اليوم علامة الخوارج إطالة الشعر، إطالة الشعر، ما ترى خارجي إلا وهو طويل الشعر، هذا صفة في الغالب، في الغالب. فالإنسان يفعل ما يفعله الصالحون ويبتعد ما يفعل العلماء، ما رأينا والله العلماء يطيلون شعرهم أو يضفرونه أو كذا. نعم. ولذلك قال: أما فتل الشعور ولفيفها فبدعة، ما أمر بها، ما أمر بها نبي ولا رجل صالح ولا فعل من يقتدى به.
The Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned, rahimahullah, as for twining the hair and wrapping it, then this is an innovation. No prophet nor righteous man was ever ordered with this, and no one who was taken as a role model ever did it. Rather, Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislated combing the hair and taking care of it with oils, and taking care of it with oils. So the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, is clarifying that then a man with disheveled hair entered upon him. And he mentioned a narration of a man coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with disheveled hair, and he said, "Could this person not find something to tone his hair down with?" And so this is a clarification here from the author rahimahullahu ta'ala that this is not from the ways of the prophets and messengers. This is all innovation, and he's doing the hair in this manner and going against the people and their customs and the normal way that they're upon. And this is something that is prohibited. Yani, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited yani standing out the garments that make you stand out absolutely amongst the rest of the people in the society, so on and so forth. And there's a great threat for him that he will be made to wear a garment of scabies on the day of resurrection and the likes like this. And also the issue of growing the hair. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Khawarij, their sign was that they shaved their hair, and he meaning that they would shave their heads because they didn't have any time to take care of that because they're so busy with ibadah, so on and so forth. So this is what they claim. But in our days, we find that the Khawarij, from their signs, is that they lengthen their hair and they have long hair. And you find that you will not find, except for almost all of the Khawarij, every one of them, they have long hair and the likes like this. And the thing that one he will do, he will not do these innovative ways that will be different from the people and making him stand out, so on and so forth. Rather, he will do what the righteous do in his clothing and his hairstyle and the likes like this. He will do what the righteous do, what the righteous and the good people do, especially, for example, like the people of knowledge. So we never seen the people of knowledge growing their hair long and the likes like this in these days. So this is something that a person he would avoid. Somebody mentioned there's a gold Honda Pilot, tag number BPP730, white Honda Accord. This is CXG1255. Obviously, you put your car in the wrong place. It's not the place for this, barakallahu fikum.
قال ولعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الواصلة والموصلة ولعن المتشبهين من الرجال بالنساء والمتشبهات من النساء بالرجال، وأمر بإحفاء الشارب وإحفاء اللحية، يعني هذا الذي يطيل شعره تجد أنه ربما حلق لحيته، وقيل له لما تفعل ذلك تطيل شعرك؟ يقول لك هذه السنة، ولحيته قد يعني حلقها، ألم تكن هذه هي سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ فالغالب أنهم يفعلون ذلك لهوى وشهوة وفيها من التشبه.
The author, he says, rahimahullah, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cursed the woman who gives hair extensions and the one who gets them. And he cursed the men who imitate the women and the women who imitate the men. And we have some people today, they follow their desires and claims to follow the religion. For example, one of them who have long hair. You say, why do you have long hair? He said, oh, because I'm following the sunnah. But at the same time, he shaved his beard. So the shaving the beard, having a beard is not from the sunnah, just having long hair. So if a person is going to claim to have long hair because he's following the sunnah, then he should shave his beard. Many times you look at this and he's only having long hair because he's following his desires, not because he really believes that he's following the sunnah.
ثم قال نعم وقال من كان له شعر فليكرمه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا كله يرد على هؤلاء الذين يعني يطيلون شعرهم ولا يكرمه، ولا أيضا يجعلونه ضفائر، فيعني يخالف هيئة الصالحين. قال سيما والشعر إذا كان لا يدخل فيه الماء إلى باطنه لا يصح الاغتسال من الجنابة، ويبقى صاحبه لا طهارة له ولا صلاة، ومن لا صلاة له لا دين له. يعني هذا يتسبب في أن الماء ما يدخل إلى أصول الشعر. هذا كله أمور يعني مترتبة على هذا الأمر الذي هو خلاف هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وخلاف هدي الصالحين.
The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, and he ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to trim the mustache and to leave the beard to grow. And he said, whoever has hair, then let him take care of it. Especially since the hair, if water does not reach inside it, the bathing from sexual impurity is not valid. This person will remain with no tahara, he will remain with no purification and no salat. And the one who has no salat, then he has no deen, he has no religion. So this is a clarification of the things that come about by those who oppose the sunnah. They go away from the sunnah or they oppose it in this manner. And these things, these bad problems, they come about from that.
قال وكذلك معاشرة الرجل الأجنبي للنسوة ومخالطتهن من أعظم المنكرات التي تأباها بعض البهائم فضلا عن بني آدم. يعني بعض البهائم تغار إذا رأت في عرينها الأسد، إذا رأى في عرينه يعني أسدا آخر، أو يعني بعض البهائم إذا رأت يعني أنثاه تمشي مع يعني ذكر آخر فإنه يغار لذلك. وهؤلاء يعتقدون أن هذه أمور جائزة، وغلاة الصوفية، بل بعضهم عياذا بالله قد تدخل عليه النساء وقد يفعل الفواحش باسم البركة، وأن هذه من الأمور التي يبارك الشيخ بها على هذا المريد. هذا كله يعني من الفسق والفجور والبعد عن دين الله عز وجل، ومن يهن الله فما له من مكرم.
And then the author, he mentioned, likewise, strange men having social relations with women and intermingling with them are among the greatest evils that even some animals refuse, not to mention the children of Adam. And in reference to what some of the people do, they ascribe to knowledge and the likes like this, and then they have women come to them to bless them. They have legal sexual intercourse with them or relationships with them, and claiming that they're going to get the blessing from that man, from the sheikh and the likes like this. And all of this is from the misguidance, from the corruption and evil. And whomever Allah belittles, then he will never be honored.
وثبت عن عمر بن عبد العزيز رحمه الله تعالى أنه قال لميمون بن مهران، قال يا ميمون لا تخلون بامرأة ولو حدثتك نفسك أن تعلمها القرآن.
And it's been affirmed from Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, that he mentioned to Maymun ibn Mihran, rahimahullah, he said, yeah, Maymun, do not be alone with a woman, even if you claim that you're going to teach her the Quran.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى نعم قال وقال الله تعالى قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن وهذا خطاب عام لجميع المؤمنين ولجميع المؤمنات ما الذي أخرجكم من هذا الخطاب هؤلاء المتصوفة الذين يفعلون هذه الأفعال ما الذي أخرجكم إلا لأنكم ما عندكم إيمان وما عندكم اتباع للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So here likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he mentions the author he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High tell the believing men to lower their gaze from looking at the forbidden things and to protect their private parts from illegal sexual intercourse and likewise Allah he says and tell the meaning of which is and tell the believing women to lower their gaze from looking at the forbidden things and to protect their private parts from illegal sexual intercourse. So this is a general address addressing all of the believers, the male and the female, a general address here on all of the believers, the males and the females there. They're ordered with this to lower their gaze and to protect their private parts. So what has excluded these individuals from that? No, Sophia, we say to them, what excludes you? Why are you not addressed with this? Why are you allowed to have this illegal sexual intercourse and the likes like this? And the answer is because they're not people of sincere faith, and they're definitely not people who follow the messenger.
قالوا في الصحيح عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إياكم والدخول على النساء. قالوا يا رسول الله أفرأيت الحمو؟ قال الحمو الموت. فإذا كان قد نهى أن يدخل على المرأة حموها أخو زوجها فكيف بالأجنبي؟ فإذا هذا من الأدلة على أنه لا يجوز الدخول على النساء ولو كان قريبا ولو كان قريبا ولم يكن من محارمها ولو كان أخو الزوج. وقد يكون أخو الزوج عنده غيرة على زوجة أخيه ولكن ما يجوز الخلوة بالمرأة. ويعني قد جاء في الحديث لا يخلون رجل بامرأة فإن ثالثهما الشيطان. فهذا يدل على أن استسهال هذه الأمور توقع في المحذور.
Then the author, he mentioned in the authentic collections reported from Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of entering upon the women. And they said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about the hamu, any of the husband's relatives, meaning like his brother, the husband's brother. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-hamu death, any of the husband's brother, his death. And so if Allah has forbidden the woman's husband's brother from entering upon the women, then how about a stranger? Then how about a stranger? And likewise, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man must not be alone with a woman, for indeed the third of them is the devil. So even if a person, he is a relative, but he is a distant relative, meaning he's not from the maharim, then it's not allowed for him to be alone with the woman. It's not allowed for him to be alone with the woman, even if they're relatives. They're relatives, but they're not maharim. It's not allowed for them to mix and to intermingle together. And if this is the case, and for the brother, even maybe the brother, he has some type of ghira and respect and honor, and protection for his brother's wife, even then it's not allowed, because taking these things lightly lead to falling into that which is impermissible.
وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تسافر المرأة مسيرة يومين إلا مع زوج أو ذي محرم. معلوم أن الأحاديث جاءت متنوعة، جاء مسيرة يوم وليلة، وجاء مسيرة يومين، وجاء ثلاثة أيام، والعلماء ذكروا بأن هذا بحسب السؤال، وأن العبرة بالأقل يوم وليلة، وما قيل أنه سفر، ما قيل إنه سفر فهو سفر، فلا يجوز للمرأة أن تسافر إلا مع ذي محرم.
And then he mentioned rahimahullah, and he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a woman must not travel the distance of 2 days except with a mahram. And so it is, the Sheikh, he mentioned Hafidhahullah, that it's known that the narrations that have come about this, they vary. It's been mentioned 1 day or 2 days, 3 days, and the likes like this. But what is considered is the smallest amount. Any 1 day and a night, 1 day and a night, or that which is considered traveling. So it's not allowed for the woman to travel a distance that's considered traveling, any the distance of a day and a night.
وَلَا يَكْفِي الرُّفْقَةَ الْمَأْمُونَةَ
It's not sufficient just to be in a safe company.
لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جاءه رجل من الصحابة فقال له يا رسول الله إني اكتتبت في الجهاد.
Because a man, he came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, I enrolled in a battle for jihad.
وإن امرأتي خرجت حاجة.
And my wife left out to make hajj.
فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحق بمرأتك.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, catch up with your wife.
وما سأله هل هي في رفقة مأمونة.
He didn't ask her, is she with a safe company?
وهم في ذلك الوقت.
And in those days, in those times,
خيرة الناس.
The best of the people.
وأفضل الناس.
The most virtuous people.
ولا يأتي مثل الصحابة رضي الله عنهم.
And it doesn't come the likes of the companions.
فالاعتبار بالرفقة المأمونة صحيح أنه ليس بصحيح.
And to claim that it's okay for her to travel alone, if she's in the company of safe people or safe company, this is not correct.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال زوج أو ذي محرم.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said a husband or a mahram.
وكان إذا صلى في مسجده يصلي الرجال خلفه وخلفهم النساء فإذا قضى الصلاة مكث هو والرجال حتى يخرج النساء لئلا تختلط النساء بالرجال. هذا أيضا من الأدلة ويرد شيخ الإسلام على هؤلاء الذين يجوزون اختلاط الرجال بالنساء ويفعلون ذلك ويرون أن هذا جائز ويجوز لهم مثل هذا الفعل ويدعون الولاية والكرامة. وهذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الخلق والخليقة والصحابة معه وفي أفضل الأماكن في المسجد ولا يجوز لهم أن يختلطوا فيه.
And then he mentioned rahimahullah, and if he prayed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his masjid, the men would pray behind him and behind them the women. So whenever he finished the prayer, he would remain in his place sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a moment, even him and the men. He would remain in his place a moment, him and the men, so that the women could leave, so that the men and women would not intermingle. So this is from the evidences refuting those people who claim that it's allowed for the men and women to intermingle, or that they have reached a high level of deen and now it's allowed for them to intermingle, claiming that this is from the miracles and the karama that they reached. And here we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the best of mankind. He's in the best place in the masjid with the companions, and he's taking this great precaution so the men and women do not mix.
بعض أهل الأهواء يستدل بأن النساء كن في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ستر بينهن وبين الرجال في الصلاة، فيرى أن هذا الستر والحاجز أن هذا من الأمور التي لا تصح، لأن هذا غير موجود في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولكن انظر إلى هذه الأمور التي فعلها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع أصحابه وألزمهم بذلك، هل هو موجود اليوم؟ لماذا يعني تؤمنون ببعض الكتاب وتكفرون ببعض؟ خذوا الدين كاملا، أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أيضا مدح الصفوف الأولى، قال خير صفوف الرجال أولها وشرها آخرها، وخير صفوف النساء آخرها وشرها أولها. فالصف صف الرجل إذا تأخر قرب من النساء فأصبح شر، وصف النساء إذا تقدم قرب من الرجال أصبح شر، ومدح الأخير بالنسبة للنساء والأخير بالنسبة للرجال، الأول بالنسبة للرجال لبعدهن، لبعد الصفوف عن الرجال والنساء. كل هذا ألا يدل على أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يريد أن لا يكون هناك اختلاط، وأن يحرص الناس على الصفوف الأول والنساء على الصفوف الأخر، حتى لا يقربنا من النساء، وكان يقول للرجال اثبتوا مكانكم حتى تنصرف النساء، وكنا ينصرفن كالغربان، يعني من شدة السواد التي يلبسنا. ما يعرف، ما الإنسان ما يعرف زوجته من أنها يعني قد التفت بمرطها وحجابها. كل هذا لا يذكر، لأنهم أهل أهواء يريدون أن يأخذوا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جعل بابا خاصا للنساء في المسجد، حتى قال لو جعلتم هذا الباب للنساء، يقول نافع مولى بن عمر، فما دخل ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما منه حتى مات، ما دخل منه حتى مات. تركوا هذا الباب للنساء، باب خاص للنساء، مكان خاص للنساء، محافظة على النساء في أطهر مكان وفي أفضل مكان في المسجد، وفي مسجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهؤلاء غلاة الصوفية وغيرهم، انظر الاختلاط الذي يكون في الموالد، وانظر إلى هذه الأمور التي يفعلونها مع ما يزيدون على البدعة، أيضا يزيدون إلى ذلك الفسوق والفجور والخنا، بحجة أنه جائز وأنه من الدين، وهذا كله كذب على دين الله عز وجل. نعم.
And then he mentioned, rahimahullah, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the best rows are the men, the best rows of the men are the first, and the worst are the last. And the best rows of the women are the last, and the worst are the first, and the worst are the first. So here we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's taking all of these precautions for the men to not intermingle with the women, so that there would not be any mixing. So that there will not be any mixing. Here we see an issue that some of the people of desires, they use the likes of some of these affairs here as an evidence, claiming that it's allowed for them, claiming that there's no need to have a barrier, the men's side and the women's side, because in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's no barrier, there's no men's side and women's side with the wall or partition, and the likes like this. They say, oh, that wasn't present in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so it's no need today.
وهذه كلمة حق يراد بها باطل.
And this is a true statement that is intended falsehood by way of it. And there's a true statement, but falsehood is meant by it. Establishing falsehood is meant by it.
حتى رأيت في بعض المساجد المرأة تصلي بجوار.
Until he's
يعني النساء هكذا بجوار الرجال والفاصل حتى ما تكون في الخلف.
And even
ونريد أن نكون بجوار الرجال.
He's saying that some of the masajid, the women, they pray next to the men. You need the women's side and the men's side are on the side of each other, so that they're not behind the men. In any case, this is not correct. This is not the correct understanding. Look to these affairs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taking. Look to all this precaution that he's doing, and in order to avoid the intermingling of the men and the women. أَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفَرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in parts of the revelation and disbelieve in parts of it and parts of it? And Allah, he says, أُدْخُلُ فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. You have to enter to Islam in entirety. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clarifying that the best rows of the men are in the front, and the worst rows of the women are in the front. And this is because they're closer to mixing, and the worst rows of the men are in the back, and the best rows of the women are in the back. So this is an indication, the reason why the best rows are in this manner, the men in the front and the women in the back, is because they're further away from intermingling. And the worst rows of the men are in the back, and the worst rows of the women are in the front, because they're closer to intermingling. So this is all great encouragement to be divided and to keep people away from mixing and the likes like this. And even it's mentioned that the women, whenever they would leave like crows. And he meaning that they're wearing completely black. A man, he doesn't even know which one is his wife. A man, he will not be even able to identify his wife. So all of these precautions are taken and the likes like this. And are they taken today? Or are these people taking these precautions and the likes like this? Or are they just looking at the aspects of evidence that support their desires? Even the fact Ibn Umar, even the fact that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had designated a particular door for the women only. It's mentioned that Nafi, he said that Ibn Umar, he never entered that door in his life. So all of this is a clarification that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's taking the means, and he's intending for the men and women to not intermingle. Look at the Sufia today on the contrary, how they intermingle in the birthday parties and the likes like this and the different events that they have, all claiming that it's permissible from the deen. All this is falsehood and contrary to the sunnah.
وقال أيضا صلى الله عليه وسلم يا معشر النساء لا ترفعن رؤوسكن حتى يرفع الرجال رؤوسهم من ضيق الأزر لئلا تبدو عورة الرجال فتراها المرأة. هذا من حرص النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أيضا على النساء أنهن لا ينظرن لا ترفعن رؤوسكن إلا بعد أن يرفع الرجال وهن وهم أطهر القلوب. الصحابة رضي الله عنهم أطهر القلوب وأفضل الناس، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يمنعهم من هذا الأمر ويحذرهم من هذا الأمر، فكيف بغيرهم ممن قلت ديانته وضعف إيمانه إلى غير ذلك.
And then he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, and he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a group of women, do not raise your heads until the men raise their heads because of the tight izars. He says so that the men's privates are not shown and the women see them. So all of this the Shaykh mentioned hafidhullah is a clarification of the diligence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to protect the women from their eyes falling on something that's forbidden from the private parts of the men, and he said that they will not look at that which is unlawful for them from the privates of the men, and they have the purest hearts, and they're the companions. These are the companions, radiallahu anhum, the best of people, the most virtuous of the people, and the purest of hearts. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he forbade them, and he warned them, and the likes like this. And how about others who are weak in their faith, or they have great deficiency in their religion?
قال وأمر النساء إذا مشينا في الطريق أن يمشينا على حافة الطريق ولا يحققنا الطريق، يعني ما تكون في وسط الطريق تأخذ وسط الطريق، وإنما تمشي من الحافة كما جاء في الحديث عليكن بحافات الطريق. المرأة وقد جاء أنهن من شدة امتثالهن لقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه ربما علق يعني ثيابهن في الجدار من شدة التساقهن بالجدار والمشي بجوار الجدار بعيد عن وسط الطريق.
And then he mentioned rahimahullah, and he ordered, and meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered the women when they walk in the street to walk on the sides and to not walk in the middle. Rather, the middle would be for the men, so that the shoulders of the men would not touch the shoulders of the women. And it's come in other narrations, the Shaykh, he mentioned, hafidhullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the women to walk on the sides of the street, to walk on the strides on the sides of the street, not to walk in the middle. And in order to avoid intermingling and mixing in the likes like this, the men, they'll walk in the middle. And he mentioned that some of the women of the companions, radiallahu anhum, that one of them would apply this in such a manner that she would be walking so far on the side that maybe her garment would get stuck on the wall, get caught by the wall, and the likes like this. Any in application of this narration.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى قال أي لا يكون في وسطه بل يكون نعم بل يكون وسطه الرجال لئلا يمس منكب الرجل منكب المرأة حتى يروى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو عن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه أنه ترك بابا من أبواب المسجد للنساء ونهى الرجال عن دخوله، فكان عبد الله بن عمر لا يدخله، وهذا مر معنا. وقالت عائشة رضي الله عنها ما مست يد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يد امرأة لم يملكها قط. وهذا يدلنا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو في مقام الأب لأصحابه، وفإنه كان يبايع الرجال باليد والنساء لا يبايعهن باليد، بل يبايعهن بالكلام. ولما جاء النساء يبايعنه قال إني لا أصافح النساء، وقلبه أطهر القلوب، ولا يجوز أن يقال أنا قلبي طاهر فأنا أصافح وأنا أمازح وأنا قلبي طاهر، هذا كله لا يصلح، هذا كله من الشيطان، هذا في وعيد. إني لا أصافح النساء وإنما قولي لمئة امرأة كقولي لامرأة واحدة، يعني باللسان يبايعهن باللسان. وجاء ويروى أنه وضع يده في إناء فيه ماء ووضعن أيديهن فيه، لكن هذا لا يصح، هذا لا يصح ليكون ذلك عوضا عن مصافحة النساء، ولذلك قال ويروى صيغة التمريض، قال كل ذلك لئلا يمس الأجانب. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخاف على نفسه ويخاف على أصحابه، وهؤلاء لا يخافون على أنفسهم، هذا لا شك أنه يدل على قلة يعني قلة الدين. نعم. قال وهو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وتزوج بتسع وسيد الخلق وأكرمهم عند الله تعالى، فكيف بهؤلاء الضلال؟ هذا يا إخوة يعني منهج مهم جدا، وهو أن تقيس هؤلاء بما كان على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. تزن، تريد أن تعرف بطلان كل يعني من دعا إلى بدعة أو ضلالة أو إلى تشدد أو إلى غلو، قسه بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكيف كان محافظتهم على الصلاة، ولا لا يحافظون على الصلاة ويرون أن الصلاة تسقط، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يهادى بين الرجلين وخرج تخط قدماه الأرض إلى أن وقف الصف، وهؤلاء يقولون سقطت عنا تكاليف. إذن قس أفعالهم على أفعال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، تعلم أنها باطلة، أن أفعالهم باطلة وأنهم يعني أهل يعني انحراف. نعم. قال فكيف بهؤلاء الضلال المبتدعين الخارجين عن الإسلام الذين يجمعون بين النساء والرجال في ظلمة أو في غير ظلمة، ويوهم بعضهم للنساء أن مباشرة الشيخ والفقراء قربة وطاعة وأنه مسقط للصلاة، ويتخذون الزنا والقيادة عبادة، القيادة يعني من يعني فعل المحرم وهو القوادة أيضا. قال ويتركون هو يعني أنه يفعل الزنا، قال ويتركون ما أمر الله تعالى. ولذلك بعضهم يقول إذا رأيت شيخك، إذا دخلت امرأة أجنبية على شيخك فلا تسأله وقم إلى الماء وسخنه، يعني هكذا. وإذا رأيت شيخك يشرب الخمر عياذا بالله فقل أنه ينقلب يعني ماء طيبا، هكذا يعلمونهم عياذا بالله أن يعتقدوا مثل هذه العقائد الباطلة، ويعني وهذا في كتبهم، وما زالوا يسمون أنفسهم أولياء وأنهم خير الناس وأنهم. وإذا قستهم على أهل زمانهم، ما هو الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وما كان، وإنما أهل زمانهم من أهل الصلاة، تجد أنهم أهل فسق وأنهم أهل بعد عن دين الله. قال فما أحقهم بقوله سبحانه فخلف من بعدهم خلف أضاعوا الصلاة واتبعوا الشهوات فسوف يلقون غيا، هذا حقيقتهم، ليسوا من أولياء الله بل هم من أولياء الشيطان. وهناك كتاب عظيم لشيخ الإسلام تيمية أنصح بقراءته واقتنائه، الفرقان بين أولياء الرحمن وأولياء الشيطان، مهم جدا.
The author he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, rather the middle would be for the men, so the shoulders of the men would not touch the shoulders of the women. Even it has been narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu appointed a door from the masjid for women and prohibited the men from entering it. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he would not enter through it. This has passed. This has proceeded. And likewise he mentioned, rahimahullah, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that the hand of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never touched the hand of a woman not under his care. And whenever the woman came to pledge allegiance to him, he said, indeed, I do not shake hands with women. My statement of accepting the pledge of allegiance to 100 women is that to one woman. So the Shaykh mentioned, hafidhahullah, that all of this is evidence is here, yani clarifying this affair. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's like a father. He's like a father figure for his companions. And he would shake the hands of the men whenever they pledge allegiance any for their Islam, but he would not shake the hands of the women, and their hearts is his heart is the purest heart, and so it's not said somebody would not say, for example, oh, my heart is pure, it's okay, it doesn't bother me to shake their hands and likes, like this is not correct. Rather, the heart of the Prophet is the purest heart, so Allah likes me, yet he would not shake the hands of the strange women. The author, he mentioned, it has been narrated that he put his hand in a bowl of water and that they put their hands in it as a substitute for shaking hands with women. This narration here is not authentic, the sheikh he mentioned, as indicated by the way that he spoke here. وَيُرْوَى سِغَةُ التَّمْرِيضِ. So then he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he married nine women. And he's the master, the best of creation, and the most honorable in the sight of Allah Almighty. So how about these misguided innovators who are outside of Islam, who gather with women and men in darkness and seclusion or without darkness? So here we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's afraid, and he's not going, putting himself in this situation, afraid for himself and likewise for his companions. But these people here, they're not afraid for themselves. They're not afraid for their deen. They're not afraid for their religion. They think that they can do this, and there's no bad outcome, so on and so forth. So this is all misguidance. This is all misguidance. A person, if he wants to be able to measure up the people, if he wants to be able to identify those who are truthful and the likes, and who is correct and who is wrong, then let him make the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his scale. Let him make the Prophet, what the Prophet and what he was upon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the scale. He will weigh up the people and what they say and what they do to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was upon. So from the greatest things the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, they were upon, was upholding the salat, upholding and maintaining the prayer and performing it all the time. The likes of these deviant people from the Sufi, so on and so forth, they claim that they reach a level that the prayer is not even obligatory upon them anymore. They claim they reach a level that it's not even obligatory upon them anymore. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'll come to the prayer and people, two men are carrying him in between him. He's coming between two men. Likewise, the companions, likewise. One of them will be brought to the prayer, dragging his feet, being carried between two men. Here we have these people claiming they reach such a high status in the religion, they don't even have to pray anymore. So the author, he says, some of them deceive women into believing that being in physical contact with the sheikh and his followers is an act of worship and obedience, claiming it exempts them from performing prayers. They turn acts of fornication and immoral conduct into forms of worship while abandoning what Allah has commanded, such as performing prayers and avoiding immoral acts. How fitting is Allah's statement regarding them, and the meaning of which is, then there has succeeded them a posterity, a group of people who have given up the salat, and who has given up the salat, either by not offering them or by not performing them properly or in their proper fixed times, and have followed their lusts and desires, so they will be thrown in the hell. The sheikh, he mentioned that this is the reality of these people here that we're talking about, those who claim that they reach a level they don't have to comply to the religion or abide by the limits and the likes like this. This is their reality. This is their reality. They're misguided and they are following their lusts and desires and the likes. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a book very beneficial that he advised that you should get it and you should read it. And it's the clarification, the criterion between the awliya of the Allah and the awliya of the devil, the awliya of Ar-Rahman and the awliya of the devil, which is a very beneficial book. You'll find that one of them, even they will say, from those extreme Sufiya who do the likes of these affairs, claiming that they reach this level where they don't have to abide by the Islamic legislation. They, one of them, they will tell his student, if you see your sheikh and he is alone with a foreign woman, a strange woman, then don't think anything bad about him. Rather go warm up the water for him. Rather go warm up the water for him. And for ghusl. And he help him out in the likes like this. And if you see one of them drinking alcohol, then don't think bad about this. Know that he reached a level that is permissible. And he reached a level now that drinking alcohol is allowed for him. So this is something that's in their books. These are not just claims made up. Rather, you can read them in their books, and they continue until this day. They continue until this day, all along claiming that they're the awliya of Allah, and that they're the most beloved of Allah, and that they're the righteous, so on and so forth. So again, barakallahu fikum, if you want to check somebody, you want to see whether they're right or wrong, or whether they're correct or incorrect, whether they're good or bad, then you have to compare them to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, even if you look at the people, if you compare these people to the people of their time, you will find that they are the worst and the most indecent and foul, even of the people of their time, not to mention those before them from the companions. And these people who claim these affairs, they're known for indecency. They're known for sin, and they're known for going outside the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla, all the while claiming that they're righteous and pious.
نقف عند هذا القدر ونسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفعنا بما سمعنا وتعلمنا ونسأله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، والله تعالى أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبده ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.